our brother Dennis, folks, for his very kind invitation to give a word of testimony. It's a sure indication that the two of us are getting old. But I had no idea when the last time I was here. I was guessing much in there, 5, 6, 7, 8, I have no idea how many years. But it's good to be back again, brother, and thank you. And I've seen one or two friends in the congregation tonight. And it is a joy to be here just to share with you once again what the Lord means to me, what the Lord has done for me, how the Lord has saved, and how the Lord has blessed abundantly, and how the Lord has kept, and how the Lord has guided through every day, through every step of the way. And I would just like you just, I'm going to read a couple of portions of Scripture to go with me. First to Psalm 34, and then we'll go on to Romans chapter 5. These two portions of Scripture that I would always love to use. In fact, I have my son and daughter with me tonight, as Dennis says, and another good friend and brother in the Lord. And he says to me, "Are you reading Psalm 34 tonight again?" I says, "I can't get away from it, brother. I love to quote Psalm 34. And we'll begin to read it, verse 1 in Psalm 34. And then we'll move on to Romans chapter 5. Psalm 34 and verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." And I love this verse, verse 6. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." And verse 8 is a wonderful verse as well. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And go with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning again at the verse 1. Just a few verses of God's word, God's precious word. We'll be reading down to the verse 9. From verse 1 to verse 9, Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, I want to, folks, just say to you, as we look at verses 6 and verse 8 there in Romans chapter 5, I have good reason for drawing your attention to these verses tonight, because I'm from Macclesfield. Before we go any further, I've lived in Macclesfield since I was married way back in 1987, but I'm originally a Macarrah fella, born and bred in Macarrah into a family of 6 children. But I did not grow up in a Christian home, I must add that. In fact, I've said this often in my testimony, that my father spent so little time in the house of God. In fact, the only time you would have found my father in the house of God was probably for a funeral or for a wedding. I don't recall my dad going to the house of God at any time. Neither do I recall my mother either. We were sent to Sunday school as young lads. But as the case was, when we were young, if we didn't want to go, then we didn't have to go. But the reason why I draw your attention to, in particular, verses 6 and verse 8, that even though I grew up in an unchristian home, a home where there was nobody saved, it's amazing too that when I think about the providence of God and the love of God and the mercy and the goodness of God, there are a lot of folks in here, young folks, and you've been brought up as the Word of God has instructed us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know much Scripture off by heart, and you've been steeped in the Gospel, and you know it. Deep down in your heart, you know it, and you know it. But those two verses, verse 6 and verse 8, were probably the only two verses in my childhood and teenage years, right through to as a young man, that I would have known off by heart. Why? Because they hung on my bedroom wall. And what two wonderful verses to know. Right through So even though I was a young fellow that spent little time in the house of God or little time in Sunday school, in fact, I've said this, and I've just thought of this as the years passed by, just a few years back, I can't recall the name of any Sunday school teacher that taught me Sunday school. So a wee indication again of how little time I spent in Sunday school. Wonderful verses, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I knew that verse off by heart, even though you rarely have found me in the house of God. And verse 8, and this is wonderful, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. If you were to ask me as a teenager, do you know anything about the scripture? I could have told you those two verses. It's enough to know from those verses that the Lord loved me. The Lord died for me. And also that I was a sinner. But friends, I'll say this about me. Even though I grew up in an unsaved home, and if I look back at the neighborhood, a lot of young fellas and a lot of families very much like the family I grew up in. But I thank God, looking back over the years, for godly influences. It's a good thing to look back over your life and to see the hand of God in your life and the providence of God in your life. And I can say truly tonight, I thank God for a godly influence and a grandmother. See, the wee neighborhood that I lived in Makara, it was a polarized town like many other towns during the 70s. There was what we called the Roman Catholic side of town, the Protestant side of town. The Troubles had enhanced that. But in our neighborhood, my granny just lived across the way, maybe about a quarter of a mile away, and I had lots of aunts and uncles and cousins that lived in our neighborhood. But I remember a change taking place in my granny's life whenever I was, probably was around the time mid-70s to late 70s. And remember, we used to frequent her home very often. But all of a sudden, my granny began to talk about the Savior. My granny got saved. And I hadn't been in close contact with anybody that I'd heard talking about these things before, really. So here was I sitting in my granny's house often, as we used to do. We would across with our mother and brothers and sisters, and we sat with cousins and aunts and uncles. And there was a change in my granny's life. She was saved. And she made sure she told everybody. Her home was different. So that was an early godly influence in my life, and I thank the Lord for that. Because, yes, even at an early age, and a young fellow who was a sinner and a rebellious young lad, her influence pointed me to Jesus. She used to rebuke us sometimes about our behavior and about our bad language and our sinful ways. And another influence, I must add this, was, and I do hope tonight, just as I say this, I do hope that what I'm, and my testimony tonight, not only will the Lord use this testimony to speak to souls in here tonight that are not saved, that are out of Christ. I do hope and pray that it will encourage God's people too. Much of what I have to say will encourage you. We need encouragement. We all need encouragement. I had a young friend. See, I grew up in the town. It was a small town, Makara. But just outside the town, there was this young lad that shared a passion for football, like me. And he used to come into the town pretty often. He lived about a mile out of town. But he was a Christian. He was a young lad who grew up in a Christian home. And I befriended him from an early age. And we became very close friends through the football team that we supported and the passion for football. But he used to come into the town, but he was so, so different from the young lads that I run around with. I had two brothers. I had three sisters. And he used to come in, and everything about him was different with regards to his language, his behavior, everything. On the football field, off the football field, he was a wonderful testimony for the Lord. A godly influence in my life. A wonderful godly influence. As I look back over the years, I have much to thank the Lord for. In my darkened state, my sinful state, the Lord, through the course of my young life and teenage life and early manhood years, the Lord was always to bring me into contact with believers, with Christians. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Not only that young fella, he was a wonderful example to me. See, I observed these people. Observed my grandmother. Listened to my grandmother. Observed this young lad. Listened to him. As he would witness to me, I used to frequent his home. His mother and father were Christians. His sister was a Christian. It was a different home from the one I grew up in. And there was something special about it. There was something different about it. Another influence, and I thank God for it, and let this be an encouragement to every family. There was a family in our neighborhood. It was rare, but there was a family in our neighborhood who were believers. They had a family of five children. See, it's funny, you see, whenever I think about that, when I say that, but our home had six children, and that family just a wee bit up the way had five children. And it's funny, whenever I can't go past this, just to give you a picture of our neighborhood at that time. Must have been something to do with the baby boom of the 60s, as to talk about, because the row of houses that we lived in, it was incredible whenever I think about it. There was, I think, five next to us. There was six in our house. There was 12 next door to that. There was three, then there was eight, and then there was five. It was some place, I can tell you. Growing up was a lot of fun. And I always say there was a lot of fighting as well. But, and that's not counting the rest of the house instead. It was some place. But this family of believers, it was a wonderful family. Again, and they had a burden. Not just for me and my brothers and my sisters, but for all the other young lads and lassies in that neighborhood. I went to school with a couple of lads out of that home. But I remember well that family used to invite us along to little Sunday afternoon meetings in the little Elam church in the town. There was a Church of Ireland in our town. There was a Presbyterian church for which we belonged to. There was a little Elam witness in the town. And there I remember clearly and well hearing about the Savior. Hearing about my need to be saved. Hearing about, I'm talking now, I was about 6, 7, 8 years of age. Can't really recall this, the memory going again, brother, so it is. But I thank the Lord again for a godly influence. I remember those wee meetings. I remember hearing about the Lord. I remember singing the choruses. I remember hearing about the blood that was shed for sinners. But I didn't accept the Lord. But I have to thank the Lord for a godly influence in that family, in my life. You see, the Lord all the way through my life, making his mark, sowing the seed through different people, whether it been in the neighborhood, through the sport that I loved, through the family, the Lord was speaking to me. But I didn't accept Jesus. I didn't trust the Lord as my Savior. I went on in my sin. But I hope, friends, that when I mention that family in particular, even friends, maybe you're the friend of some sinner. Maybe you play football. Maybe it's through the workplace. And just be encouraged. The Lord does use you. If you're faithful and true to the Lord, through your testimony, you know that I just observed, I would say, observed believers that I knew, observed and listened. I will say this, that through my teenage years and everything else, to get me into the house of God would have been well nigh impossible. When I think back to those years, I think back to, you know, maybe getting an invitation to go to a mission or to go somewhere. There weren't too many, I must add. But I would have told a lie, told many lies to stay out of the house of God. No time for it, not interested in it. You know, yes, I would have paid lip service to a lot of Christians and said the right things in their company and done the right things, but nah, not really interested. You know, when I think about the young lads that I ran around with, you see, Macarthur was only a small town. Maybe in a small town, but of the fellas that I ran around with, I'm talking maybe here 10 to 15 young fellas about my age, but all similar backgrounds. Their homes were the same as our homes. No time for the gospel. No time for the things of God. We get into a lot of trouble as young fellas. It may have been a small town, but you're talking about the 70s and there was much going on. There was much heartache and pain in our nation with the troubles and everything else. Petty crime and vandalism, yes, we get into trouble. And I think back and it grieves me now to think of the pain we may have caused our mother at that time, because it wasn't a pleasant thing for a mother to experience maybe a policeman coming to the front door and maybe you weren't at home. It was a fearful thing. But you don't think of these things whenever you're a young, rebellious lad. You're having a good time. You think it's fun. But I, as a parent now, as I look back, and I think if that had been me, if I was a parent and a police officer coming to the door, well, you can only think of the worst. Small town, but a lot of sin. We were sinful young men. And the young fellas that I ran around with were all the same. We may have been what we called Protestants, but Protestants, no, not in the true scriptural biblical sense at all. We may have been able to paint the curbs and put up the flags and this, that, and the other, but we were ungodly. We were sinful. We had no time for the things of God. Our families had no time for the things of God. But the Lord is good, as you will see. You know, I think about, and let this be an encouragement to you, I may have not have had any desire to go to the house of God, but I can thank God for, again, the Lord's, as the Word of God says, ask for God, His way is perfect. His ways are perfect. I think about, and let this be an encouragement to you, I never would give a word of testimony without including this and encouraging God's people. as I think about my teenage years and I think about whenever I was a young man, and doing my best to stay away from the house of God. I think about, in particular, the gospel tracts. You see, I was an avid reader. I read much of the world's filth in my time. But I thank God that somehow, and again, it's only of the Lord, that I had a desire to read gospel tracts. There was something about the little stories. There was something about the stories of men and women and boys and girls being saved. Short stories. But I was really interested in them. And I'll say this, God's people who are involved in outreach work, if you're involved in any aspect of the work that involves distribution of gospel tracts and you need encouragement, believe you me, you need it. We're all familiar with it. Gospel tract distribution, maybe. People tearing them up in your face, taking them off you and discarding them as soon as they take them off you. It's a hard work. It's a hard work. I can remember crossing the street, not too often, but I did cross the street to get a gospel tract. I wouldn't have been brave enough to discuss the contents of the gospel tract with anybody, but I took one, back pocket, read it at a later time. And all the time the Lord sowing the seed in my heart. So let me encourage you, God's people, because you need encouragement. Just keep on working, keep on laboring for the Lord. Because there are those, like me, who are reading and the word been sown, the seed been sown in my heart. For a later time, for when the Lord would take a dealing with me, for when the Lord would save me. But you know, folks, my teenage years, even with that all being taken into consideration, were rebellious years. Rebellious years. But I think back and I say, I must stress, I look back and I can thank the Lord for his hand upon me in dangerous times and foolish times. And when I would just sum it up those years as a teenager, as a young man, I think often about how the Word of God describes that the prodigal son, where it says when he was away off into the far country, it just described his life and it was riotous living. It says he wasted his substance with riotous living. That's, I think, best sums up my life as a teenage young man. It was riotous. It was reckless. It was ruinous. Now, friends that shared that lifestyle with me and everything else or always may have looked upon me as a young lad who was, you know, doing okay at school. Head boy, in fact, believe it or not. I still can't understand that one, to be honest with you. Head boy at school and, you know, good at a sport and everything else. People would have said, well, he's not a bad fella. But this heart was vile and sinful. This heart had no time for the things of God. This heart was reckless and riotous and ruinous. But I praise God forever, and the Spirit forever following after me. I will say this, and I remember well, as a young fella, you see, our home, like many homes, knew the curse of drink. Our home could have been a peaceful home for much of the time, but when drink came about the place, then the harmony went and the peace went. And I, as a young fella, I remember from a very early age, despising it, hating it. And many times, if drink wasn't home, throwing it down the sink, I hated the stuff. But it wasn't long till I was a young man and making money that I didn't despise the drink. I was sitting on the bar stool, taking down that road of drinking and reveling and more and more sin. And yes, enjoying the pleasures of sin like a foolish young man. I remember it well, throwing it down the sink. But it wasn't long until I was making money, throwing it down my throat, sitting on the bar stool. And yes, let's be honest about it, falling deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. But you know, the Lord is good. Around about the time I was, 17, just about turning 18, I was to meet the girl I was going to marry. I got the opportunity to go and play football. I was playing for a local side. I got the opportunity to go and play football with a semi-professional club in Belfast, Glentoran Football Club. You football men will be familiar with that name. It was an opportunity for me, a young country boy, to go in. I must confess, it was a challenge that I would have relatively afraid of, but off it went and things went so well. But I remember well, here again is an example of God's intervening in my life, the providence of God. I remember well, this was 1982, and the World Cup was on. The football men will know what I'm talking about. That's 30 years ago, it's a long time ago. The World Cup in Spain was on at the time. Northern Ireland had qualified. The young boys won't find that hard to believe, but we did qualify for World Cups back in those days. And I remember well, following the World Cup as I did passionately, and following Northern Ireland's progress at that time, that there was a situation happened in the World Cup in 1982 where one of our players refused to play in a game. And he refused to play for one reason alone, and that was because he was a Christian, and he wouldn't play on the Lord's Day. And I remember, let's just say it as it was, I remember well saying to myself whenever I heard the news, and it was just a fleeting thought about it, and I says, what a header, what a nutcase. He's at the World Cup and he won't play. But that was it. The tournament went on, Northern Ireland were knocked out. I went on playing about my football. But just a few months later, I was to get the opportunity to go and play for Glentoran Football Club. And as I went to play there as a young lad, a young country boy, going out down into East Belfast, the city, and it was a pretty scary thing. But I went and things went well. But here in this changing room was the very same guy who had refused to play for Northern Ireland in the World Cup. Now, I was in the same changing room as this head case as I thought he was. But he was different. He was a believer. He loved the Lord. This fellow was completely different from any of the other fellows. And again, I observed him. I watched him. Friends, I can only say this. It was just simply the Lord again bringing me into contact with another believer. He was faithful. True to the Lord. But he had something. He had something that none of the other guys had. He had something that, of course, I didn't understand then what it was. I know now what it was. He had the Lord. He had the Savior in his life. What a wonderful godly influence in my life. That was way back in around about this time, 1982. And things went really well. Things went so well for me personally. I must confess, I remember a friend saying to me, she said, oh, go and give it all you've got at Glentoran. Sure, if you come back within a year, you've had a go at it. And I said, that's right. I didn't really, to be honest, expect to do as well as I did do. But it went so well. Ended up signing the contract. Success abounded. But I will say this, those were years where I was, 17, 18, 19 years of age. I fell deeper and deeper into sin. If you'd have tried to get me to the house of God or to talk about the things of God there at that age, no. Oh, yes, I may have read. Yes, I did read the gospel tracts. Yes, I did. And at that time, too, I remember I was working. The football was only a part-time thing, as it was for the next 21 years. But I remember my full-time job, and it's amazing, too. I was working at a local company. The first guy that I got a lift to morning by morning to work was a Christian. The first people that I worked side by side with were Christians. They were everywhere. Everywhere I went, there were believers. But you know, looking back now, I have much to praise my Lord for. Godly influences all through my life. But still I lived a sinful, rebellious life. I must say that when I think about those years, from I was 18 to 22, it's amazing that as far as the things of the world concerned, work, relationships, football, your sport, all the things that were so important to you, that was life was good. Life was good, but all the time, and it's frightening to think about it, all the time, so far from God, and no time for God. I was a fool. And if the Lord had come or if the Lord had called, I was hellbound. I hadn't got Christ as my Savior. I hadn't trusted Him. But you know, that was the change, folks. I think about the early 1987. We're back up in 1987 now, and as you can imagine, my football career was going on wonderfully well. Life was good, as far as I was concerned. But 1987 was the year I was to be married to the same girl I'd met 5 years previously. 1987 was also, in the early part of 1987, the spring of 1987, was to be the time that the Lord was to save me. I remember well that time, and the older folks will know what I'm talking about here whenever I relate this. There was much, all I can say is that time there was much death. That's the best way I can put it. And you know what I'm talking about. The older folks will remember that time. And certainly in our vicinity, up around, as we call South Londonderry, there was much murder and mayhem with the Troubles. I knew folks that had been murdered, and there was death everywhere. It was a bad time, as were the years after it and the years before it. And I remember well that time too. The older folks remember this too. There was, I think, around about February or March 1987, there was the Zeebrugge disaster. A ferry was to leave the coast of Belgium with a lot of British passengers on it, and that ferry was to be, I don't even think it left the harbour. Many perished in an instant. Perished in an instant. Coming or going to a holiday, and they perished. And I remember I was profoundly touched by that. And not only that, in 1987, and again the older folks will remember this, there was much news across the world about the whole AIDS epidemic. And I was profoundly touched by that. I was a sinful young man. A sinful young man who lived for the pleasures of this world. And the Lord spoke to me about all those things. Death. Death in an instant. Death agonizingly. Over a long period of time. Death by murder. Death, death, death. And the Lord was to humble me. You know, I thank God for His Spirit moving in my heart. I simply became a young man who was full of vitality and vigor, full of health and happiness and everything else. A young man who could no longer go on a day without being troubled in his heart because of a sin. You see, I brought it along tonight, a little Gideon's New Testament. And when the Lord spoke to me and took a dealing with my heart about my sinful state, I had in my possession this little Gideon's New Testament. Some of you older folks will remember this. I was presented with this in my first year at high school. I'd hardly looked at this little New Testament. This was exactly 10 years later from I received this little New Testament. And I found myself as a young man sitting outside the place of work long before he was due to be at his place of work, because sleep was taken from me under conviction of sin, and reading this little New Testament. See, it says at the front of this, and usually those of you who had them, this little thing is called Life's Problems, Events and Crisis, and it says, where to find help when in trouble? Where to find help when in sorrow? Where to find help when in pain? And under conviction of sin, I needed help. I needed help. The old hymn says, where could I go but to the Lord? You see, all along the Lord had been working in my heart, and I knew that as a sinner, under conviction of sin, I knew as a sinner, unwashed, that all I needed to do was turn to the Lord. And turn to the Lord I did, friends. I'll say this, I may have been 22 years of age, a very successful young footballer. I remember well as a 22-year-old man, just simply, and I say this as simple as I can, because I didn't know much about the Word of God, let me assure you, simply crying unto the Lord for mercy. Whenever I say cry, I mean cry. I'm not ashamed to say it. Cry like a child. I think of those wonderful words in Scripture by the old public, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord saved me. I was a vile young man with a vile tongue and vile habits and vile desires. And I praise the Lord that He saved me. You know, it was a wonderful thing, a wonderful change in your life. Yes, a new creature in Christ. I had to share the news. To share the news with the young lad I was telling you about, who had played football with me, shared a passion for football. Sought him out where I knew we'd be on a Sunday. And again, this is an encouragement to God's people. I told him I could see it. I could see in his eyes tears of joy. And he said to me something that I learned a valuable lesson from the very start of my walk with the Lord. He says, Alfie, I've been praying for you for years. This is a young man who had known me as a young fella, saw me going on in my working life and my football life and everything else, and saw me falling deeper and deeper into sin. But you know what he did, folks? He just kept praying that the Lord would save me. And the Lord did save me. He got the shock of his life that Sunday. Me sitting beside him in church and telling him that I had trusted Christ as my Savior. I sought out Johnny Jamieson the next night at training. And this was funny. As we do at training, or as we did at training, we used to pair up and do a warm-up and whatnot in preparation for training. I had to tell Johnny the news as quick as I possibly could. I was desperate to share the news with him, those believers that I knew. As we were preparing to warm up, I said, Johnny, look, I have news for you. I was sort of whispering to him. I said, I get saved. I said, I trust in the Lord. And Johnny got the shock of his life too. It was a stupid place to tell him, to be honest with you. But he said, he let out this one mighty hallelujah. He says, praise the Lord. And of course, all the other players heard this, and they're wondering what's going on there. And he says, Alfie, can I tell the rest of the boys? You can imagine what sort of an environment that would be, a football environment. And he was the only Christian in that environment. And I remember when I said, Johnny, I says, I don't care who you tell, I'm happy to be saved. The Lord has saved me. You tell whoever you need to tell. And that was wonderful. You know, we said something to him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged in this. He says, you came in through that door 5 years ago. He says, I've just prayed for you. And the Lord answered his prayers. And he saw very close up a young man, rebellious and sinful. But he saw or witnessed a young man saved. Saved. And a change in his life. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, folks. I went on. I played. I'm in Lurgan tonight. I played many years for Portadown Football Club. Wasn't sure what the reaction would get. Now, I know there are Portadown fans in here as well. And playing football, I had new much success in my life. But friends, I won't say this. Going back to whenever I was saved, I was a young player playing on a very good Glen Torne side. I remember well under conviction of sin. And I remember well brokenhearted over my sin. And I remember well being troubled about my sin. But you know what? With all the success that I was enjoying, with all the acclaim that you enjoyed as a young footballer, the media attention, this, that, and the other, the applause of thousands of fans, you know, whenever I was under conviction of sin and brokenhearted over my sin, there was nobody could help me. I felt like the loneliest young man in the world. There was none could help me with my sin but the Lord. Didn't matter how popular I was. Didn't matter how successful I was. Mattered not how good I was in my vocation. Didn't matter how good I was. I needed my sin. Sin dealt with, and it was only the Lord could do it. I remember teammates of mine at that time saying that, and knowing that there was something wrong. See, my countenance had changed. I wasn't the happy-go-lucky young man that I had been in the months, years previous. And saying to me, what's wrong with you? Of course, I couldn't share what was going on in my heart with many, or with any, for that matter. But I could share it with the Lord. You do that, folks, tonight. If you're troubled here tonight, you're out of Christ and you're troubled because of your sin, 'tis the Lord who will hear your cry. As I said, I moved to Portadown for some 10 years, and we knew, I'm not boasting now, we knew a lot of success. And poor little Adam suffered at our hands. But I, yes, at times knew much opposition as a footballer. I knew much opposition. You get some flack from the terraces at times because there were certain times in your career where you had to take a stand for the things of God. And word quickly gets around that you're a Christian. And that means trouble. Whether you like it or not, that means trouble. You will trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And especially for the believer. But you know, friends, I'll say this. The Lord was good to me throughout it all. The Lord enabled me to take a stand whenever I needed to take a stand. You know, I thank God that, as I said, my son and daughter are with me tonight. And I thank God from the earliest age, they put their trust in Christ from a very early age. I was able, as a father, to take his children to the house of God, to see that they were instructed in the things of God. What a joy that is. And what a joy it is whenever your children are able to tell you, or even ask you, as was the case with Aaron, to lead them to the Lord. We knew household salvation in our home. Aaron and Lana and my wife Lorraine. You know, I thank God. I mentioned that verse earlier on. Or just there a minute ago. But the man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And that's true. That my walk with the Lord has been a wondrous walk. But it hasn't always been mountaintop experiences. There have been the valley experiences. None more so, friends. And I have to share this. This is my life. This is my story. And it isn't easy to share this. That just 4 years ago, when we were talking about it at the back, myself and Dennis, that we were, as a family, to be delivered, dealt a hard, hard blow to our lives. And let me just give you a build-up to it. I must be mindful of the time. In September of 2008, my father was not well. We were fearful for his health. And I remember well, my brother was to phone me on a particular morning in September 2008. And I says, what's the news? He says, the news is not good. It was cancer. And I remember well, when my brother put down the phone, my own wife Lorraine phoned me. And she says, what's the news? I says, it's as we expected, it's cancer. September 2008. And I said, you know, it's amazing how we put a time frame and time scale on things, even us as believers. And I remember saying, I said, Lorraine, it's going to be a hard road from now to Christmas. It's going to be a hard road from now to Christmas. That were my exact words. Thinking that, you know, my father wouldn't be long with us after Christmas. And friends, it was to be a hard road from then to Christmas, because 3 weeks after I spoke those words, Lorraine was taken home to glory. Perfectly healthy. But you notice the words I said? Taken home to glory. She was saved. Without talking too much about the actual details, Arne and Alana were with their mum that day. Arne 18, Alana 16. And just simply, friends, and let this be a warning to those of you out of Christ. On a road, driving a car, as a family, in an instant, her last words were simply, "I feel faint." And with that, she's gone. But praise the Lord, and thank God she was ready. It was a shattering blow to our home. A blow that we still feel. A blow that we will always feel. But I'll say this, folks, and I've said it time and time again. Our home from that day to now hasn't been the same. It cannot be the same. Will never be the same. But you know, I said to Dennis in the back, I've learned much about myself. In this valley, from that moment, but I've learned a lot about the Lord and His promises. Our home may never be the same, cannot be the same, but you know, the Lord did promise. He said, Jesus Christ, the word does say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I have found that the Lord's promises are ever true. In that dark, dark, dark valley, the Lord did not leave me nor forsake me. The Lord did not leave us as a family in the great times of pain. I have witnessed my son and daughter growing ever closer to the Lord. I was just talking to Dennis in the back when we think about that great verse in the scripture that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, for them that are called according to His purpose. When you simply ask yourself the questions, is it good? Is it good that Lorraine was called home to be with the Lord? Yes, even in the midst of her heartache, we can say, yes, it is good. Paul did say, to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Far better. Yes, in the midst of our heartache and pain, we can say that. Because we believe the word. Yes, we miss her. Is it good that we have grown closer, ever closer, trusting the Lord more and more? Yes, it is. We have learned to trust the Lord more and more. And we will continue by His grace to trust Him more and more. Friends, remember what it said? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. When your day of trouble comes, when your day of death comes, have you the Lord? Have you trusted in the Lord? You need to trust the Lord. You need the cleansing of the blood. You need the Savior. I remember well, Lorraine was, I learned a lesson. When I talked about praying, I was saved a few years before Lorraine was saved. All I did was pray, pray, pray. And she came to faith in the Lord. I led her to the Lord. And you know, friends, whenever I think back to that night, all in God's wondrous plan, saved, prepared, and ready to go. Are you ready? That morning, I tell you, Lorraine left the home. She told me what to make for the supper. We didn't have our supper that night. We had plans made for the next day and the day after. As we do as families, those plans never materialized. Your life changed in an instant. But friends, let me say this. I have to say this before I finish. To the unsaved, you may be healthy. You may be wealthy. You may be successful. But if you have not Christ, you're not ready. The Word of God says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. I'm ready. Should the Lord call tonight or tomorrow, I'm ready to go. Saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ready. My son and daughter are ready. They witnessed something that day. You know what I said to our preacher? Shortly, I'll say this with you, friends. I remember well, sitting, as I finish this, sitting in the hospital that day, and the doctor coming in to see how you were and everything else. And I'll say this, and I thank the Lord for the grace of my heart to say it. How are you? And I just simply quoted those verses of Scripture that Job quoted. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I sing in the men's choir at our church. And at that time we were releasing a CD. And remember well, one of the songs that we were singing at that time was, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. And I believe it with all my heart. I want to thank you for listening, but I want to urge you believers, God's people, be encouraged. We have a great God. Sinner, out of Christ, the Lord loves you. You're here tonight. In the will of the Lord, you're here tonight. The Lord wanted you here. The Lord wants to save you. The Lord loves you. He longs you to call to be saved. May that be the case tonight. Let not one leave those doors without the Savior, without the Lord. Of all the things that you think that you need tonight, there's only one thing you need, salvation, which is found only in Christ and Christ alone. Let us just bow for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time gathered around thy word. We thank you, for Lord, for enabling me to speak about my Savior. Lord, I thank and I praise thee for thy goodness and thy mercy and thy kindness and thy love and thy compassion. And I thank thee, Lord, even tonight for allowing others tonight to hear about our blessed Savior. God, God, encourage God's people. Lead them on, Lord. Let us ever look up, Lord, to look up to thee, Lord, for our redemption draweth nigh. Father in heaven, I just pray, save precious, precious souls. Bless this congregation. Bless our brother, Lord, as he continues to minister here. But, oh God, we pray for our nation. Turn souls, turn sinners unto Jesus. For we ask in his precious name.